Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 125 of DM Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Bumhofer. Happy holidays and season's greetings, Ben.
Oh, well, happy holidays and season greetings to you as well. You know, it's that time of year where you take a moment and you reflect back on, the entire year pretty much. And I got to say, I think that here at DM Discussions, we've had a pretty good one.
I agree. It's been really good. We've talked about a lot of fun stuff. We've had a few really fun guests. And just to let everyone know at the top, this will be our final episode of the year. We will be back, of course, in January. But because it is our final episode of the year, we'll get to do one of our favorite things. And one of our topics this evening will be our Christmas one-shot. So I'm really excited to do that. We're also going to be talking about running holidays in-game because it is seasonally appropriate. So I'm really excited to dive in to discussions tonight. I was also really excited to see, and this was from our Discord, that we had a Discord member actually run one of the one-shots that we had. I think was the Scrooge one. Was that last year?
Yeah, the Christmas Carol one. I'm pretty sure it was last year.
Yeah. So shout out to Necrosha for on our Discord for running that. If you want to join and check it out, they had a really great summary and it sounded super fun and amazing and just love to see that. So big kudos there.
Yeah, I kind of wish that I was in the game. It really did seem like a lot of fun. You know, who'd have thought that a silly little premise that we came up with turned out to be a good time for people to just kind of play around with?
Yeah. That was one of, I think that was probably one of my favorites that we've done so far. So it was really cool getting kind of feedback and seeing someone actually run it. But yeah, let's jump into our topics for this episode. The first, which was also a great idea from our Discord, was about running holidays in game. And I think this is a really great topic because we want to make our worlds feel more alive. We want to make our worlds more immersive and more interesting. Holidays are a great way to do that. If you have a homebrew world, or even if you're running a module and you're looking for a good place to start, or you're kind of keeping the time in season with real time, or even if you have your own stuff, a great way to start, or the easiest way to start, is basically just pour it in the real world. So, you know, your Christmas, your Thanksgiving, your, you know, I don't know, Earth Day. there's a bunch of very real world holidays that are easy to draw parallels to. And then from those, you can put your own unique spin on them based on your world. But if you're looking for something easy, that is a very easy place to start, just pulling in real world holidays and then kind of adding your own unique twist to them from your world.
Yeah. And, aside from that, like seasonal is always the easiest way to go to because, seasons mark a lot of different things like time passage, changing of, of lifestyles, really, going just from like summer to fall, the temperature drops to change. You have harvests going on, like a harvest festival is like just a slam dunk in pretty much any community where there's any sort of like farming involved.
100%. I've run many myself.
Yeah, winter, assuming your world is on some sort of globe type thing, you can have, shorter days. You can mark, the shortest day of the year or the longest day of the year. Things kind of fitting in with that. There could be holidays based on lunar cycles. My world has three moons, so that's fun to figure out. All of a sudden it's like, oh, they're all full. This night it happens once every 4 years or something. You can always just throw something into the mix that happens, kind of seasonally or something along those lines, just based off of, just kind of random world, things that happen. If you want to have, you know, just like say an eclipse day or something like that. In fact, that's how my homebrew campaign completely started off, with there was an eclipse and there was a big celebration for it. And it was the one shot, and then it grew into something more. So my game started with a celebration and a holiday. So I get it. And then, you know, on top of that too, you can start kind of, you know, bringing in some lore or different things along with that. You know, you can focus on, you know, specific gods of a certain region or a city, or even, you know, the temple that, you know, your cleric or paladin are from. You know, have them kind of talk about it, or bring something into that, you know, like a day of tribute or something along those lines. You can always celebrate a historic event, like, you know, the winning of a war, or the day that, you know, a regime changed, or, you know, something along those lines.
I mean,
you know,
like if you want to pull in from Ark Founders Day, the day a city or a town was actually founded. That's a really fun one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, throwing a tricentennial in there or something as well. Just, you know, anything that you can celebrate. I mean, heck, it could be the oldest citizen of the town's birthday, and they're having a major, huge celebration. You know, like anything that you can celebrate is something that you can just, you know, throw into D&D, have some fun with it, and, you know, really play around.
Yeah, and holidays are actually a really good time for downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I say downtime not as the we're gonna like take a few weeks or something, tell me what you did. I say downtime in the maybe at the beginning or close of an arc, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's we just had a lot of combat, or we just had a lot of traveling and stuff, and you want to shake things up a bit and give the players a chance to relax or not have it be high stress or high pressure, or just very action-y. Festivals, holidays are great things to run for a slightly slower, you know, change of pace type thing. In my own world, I do harvest festivals in the fall, and I do like planting festivals in the spring. And if the players happen to be in a town or a city or something at that point, I have run this multiple times, just festivals. So you can do fun events like archery competitions, jumping, eating contests, drinking mm-hmm. contests, games of chance, all these different sorts of things that kind of shake your game up a little bit, allow the players to do something different, you know, maybe win some stuff, but just have fun and just be a kind of role play character development type session.
Yeah.
Where you can just do sorts of fun stuff like that. So that the holidays are just a great excuse to do those types of things.
Yeah. And I mean, even the carnival games and stuff, or the things that they win, they don't even have to be anything like, you know, in game. You know, we're not talking about like, oh, well, you know, is 20 gold too much or something? Or should I give them a new plus one sword? No. At the last like festival, you know, holiday celebration that we had, my players won like owlbear plushies, because why not? It's a cute little plushie of an owlbear. Fun. You know, just from like, you know, random carnival games and things like that. I think I had a pie eating contest at mine. Drinking contests are always really good too. You know, give some ale in there, and you can also have like a fighter's pit or something. You know, give them the person who, you know, loves combat. That's what they want to do like all the time. Give them something so that they can kind of go in and show off their abilities without really having to worry about like being, you know, dead, which is always fun. You know, and you know, maybe change the rules, or say, you know, only, you know, fighters this way, this is a magical duel, or this is only like, you know, bare knuckle brawling, or, you know, something along those lines. You know, kind of mix it up, give them something to do, especially someone who has like I don't know, like a improvised weapon or like a brawling feat or something, because that'll give them something to really lean in on you know, a choice that they made that they might not be able to really get in and play around with. You know, like you said, games of chance, gambling, things like that. I mean, there are a slew of just, you know, side games and stuff that you can find online. Just, you know, do a Google search and you can find like just, you know, really simple games, or
yeah, especially simple dice games.
Oh yeah.
So that players can use what they already have.
Exactly. Or make something up on your own. You know what? No one says that you can't make up a game, and it doesn't have to be like super complex or anything. Just, you know, gosh, on a Critical Role, they have rollies. It's whoever rolls the highest D20. That's the game. But it's fun to play because, you know, they're betting on it and doing different things and stuff. You know, there's versions of poker with, you know, the different types of dice and everything. I mean, there's a lot that you can do to celebrate. And on top of that, too, it gives your players, like Ryan, you were saying, a chance to kind of unwind, to give them some, you know, fun downtime, because, you know, they can't always be running 100% going into adventuring and fighting all the time. And those downtimes really give the players a good chance to do some really good RP and have some fun with that. You can make random, you know, characters for them to, you know, have rivalries with, like at the pie eating contest. There's Jimmy the Chewer. He has been known to win this contest every single year, but your Dragonborn Barbarian is coming up and he's going to totally take down Jimmy the Chewer because, you know, he wants that t-shirt for winning or for eating the most pies or, you know, something like that, you know, just have it fun, hype stuff up, and, you know, give your players just a little fun thing to do.
One of the things I really like to recommend to people, especially when they're doing homebrew campaigns, is you don't necessarily have to keep track of time specifically in hardcore, mm-hmm. but I always like to recommend know the time of year that you're in right now and kind of keep rough track of the time. So that way you can, and this just not only works for holidays or festivals or whatever, but also for weather and those types of things as you go through your campaign. It's very easy, and there's nothing wrong with just stealing the real life 12 months of the year and, you know, the 30, 31 month days or whatever, mm-hmm. and just calling it, you know, Sunday through Saturday and that type of thing. Very, very easy to do. There are a few good supplements that you can actually use, or you can do it on your own that will help you develop your own calendar system and your own days as well. So if you really want to get into it, you can even develop your own calendar, your own set of days, your own timeline, and then lay out a calendar for your world and throw the events in. And then you can start keeping track of things a little more tightly. And then you can tell your players, you know, hey, your characters would know this. This day is coming up, or this festival is mm-hmm. coming up. If you want to plan for it, or if you want to find a place that is celebrating it or whatever, or maybe especially for like the lunar cycles or something, maybe a certain thing happens at that time of the month or that time of the year. And it's a big event that affects the world or affects a specific region. So having those types of things, if you want to delve in and dig in more, especially if you're doing a long-term campaign, can be very helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of those things where I keep track of, you know, the dates or the days at least, and, you know, time frame and everything using a day planner, which is really helpful to kind of, you know, figure out how long certain things take, you know, if it's been a day or not. And you're easily able to, you know, kind of plan ahead that way to have an idea of, you know, what's coming up. But like you said, just, you know, pull it out whenever. It doesn't matter when it can be. You're the creator of your world. So you can have Cynthia's 111st birthday party in 3 days when the players get to town. Because that's the day she turns 1100 to the whatever the age I said. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just, you know, it's a fun thing to do.
Agreed. And we'll have a link to this in the show notes. But if you're looking for a place to start, there's a very inexpensive supplement on the DM's Guild called As Time Goes By, which is basically a comprehensive guide to tracking time, creating calendars, and events, and festivals and holidays and all those sort of things for your game. So if you want to check that out, just as an early quick shout out, and are looking for help, there are definitely guides, this not being the only one, but a great place to start if you're looking to develop something like that.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, Ben. Are you ready to jump in to the 2024 holiday one shot?
I mean, if you were to ask if I was prepared, I would have to say yes. I'm always prepared for this because this is where you get to kind of see a little bit more of how our minds work when we make stuff up. I mean, granted, the entire show is us making stuff up, but you know what I mean? Like an actual in-game.
This is even more made up.
Yeah, exactly.
As always, we like to start with some sort of holiday-ish premise.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, we thought it would be fun to base this off of the classic Christmas movie, The Santa Claus.
Yes.
So essentially what we're doing is we're Santa Clausing the party.
I love that that's a verb.
So for those that don't know or haven't seen it, it's a very fun, classic kind of holiday film. But essentially, this guy basically inadvertently kills Santa Claus. I mean, that's kind of what happens. Puts on his suit to kind of pacify his kid, who's just like, oh, you should, you know, be more Christmassy and whatnot, and ends up delivering gifts and whatnot. Not realizing that in doing so, or having, you know, offed Santa and put on his stuff, that he was contractually agreeing to become Santa Claus. So our premise is going to be very similar. We are going to start with the party basically stumbling upon, what do you think, Ben? Let's say like a delivery, right? Yeah. Maybe they meet the person, maybe they witness this person getting attacked.
I think that's the way to go, because
yeah,
it'll entice them to help out, as opposed to just, you know, like riding by or whatever.
And unfortunately, this person meets their demise.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have this thing, and this thing says deliver to X, or potentially there's some sort of magical contract in that ensnares the party into delivering this thing. I love the idea of essentially, you know, if the delivery person passes or is unable to complete the thing, the next person or people that read the little note on where to deliver it are then magically contractually bound to deliver this thing.
Yeah.
And if for some reason, like the party tries to get rid of it or throw it away or destroy it, it always like reappears. It always comes back. They could start walking away and it would still be there. Or potentially, you know, you could have a lot of fun with this thing, basically pulling the party always back to where the item is. So they like can't get away from it and stuff like that.
You know, I'll even add to that. I'll say that it ties them to the location of like maybe a sleigh or a wagon or something. So that it's going to force them to use that. And that way it'll give you access to, you know, different abilities that might be tied to it. That's, you know, this delivery person, let's call them Santos. You know, that they might have access to, you know, like let's say that there's a few things that need to be delivered, but they're all over the continent or something along those lines. And it may seem crazy, but if you have this cart with these specific horses, you're able to, I don't know, plane shift through the Feywild or something to, you know, alter time to go from one place to another and, you know, just have you go through that faster and be able to hit all these places in one night.
Ooh, I love this. I love this. So you could then, you could determine the length of this one shot based on how many things they had to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So if you needed to run this quickly, there could be one or two things. But if you had a little extra time, there could be three, four, five things, right? That, and each of those things could then be its own little mini scenario. Maybe, well, combat, maybe,
you know what?
Puzzles.
To make this even more flexible, just give them the Santos's sack. So when they reach in and pull something out, that's when they know where they need to go and everything. And at this point, if you've got 5 hours to kill, but one of these scenarios takes longer than you think, then once it's delivered, the next time they reach into the sack, if you've got time, you know that there's still more in there that they can do. Otherwise, they reach in and that's it. You know, have it act kind of like a bag of holding, but instead of knowing what they're reaching in for, it automatically feeds it into their hand.
Well, that's great. And then maybe pulling out something at the end to signify that you're done, right? Pulling out some sort
something
of
something for
gift.
Them.
Yeah, some yeah. gift to them, and just have like a call, like a thank you card or something like that. And then the wagon and horses depart for the year or whatever, mm-hmm. or depart because they're no longer needed or their, you know, their work has been complete. But a fun little thing for the party at the end is a really good idea.
Yeah. In fact, have it so that when you pull that thing out, the bag turns inside out and just disappears in on itself.
Hmm.
That way, no extra random bag hanging around. The wagon and horses or whatever, you know, piece of burden you want. Yeah, elk could work. So we've got like the premise and, you know, how it's going to play out, figured out. Now we need to kind of add in encounters and experiences that are going to be happening along the way. Like, first and foremost, I think that if this is something that's, say, going through the Feywild, that one of the arch fairies or arch fae or whatever don't like this wagon coming through their territory.
Maybe it bugs them every year.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those, oh, no, it's this again. And every year they try and stop them somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether it's, trying to close the portal before they're able to get through it, or springing traps, or just something as simple as like covering the ground in molasses to slow things down or make it slippery.
Heck, this could make for a great chase scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that you could do. And it what could be really funny is if you have to repeat this little mini encounter every time you deliver another gift.
Yeah, but then
because there may
add
be
on
things
top of it each
exactly.
time.
There may be things, there may be other cool things, a combat encounter or a puzzle or something afterwards, but this little mini trip through the Fae every time that you need to shift to a different location, new stuff adds on, or there's an additional thing to overcome in addition to the things that were already there as you start learning, mm-hmm. or start encountering all these, like the molasses or potentially, you know, like pits, like entanglements, you know, all sorts of other things that will try to slow you down or break the wagon even. So maybe at some point you have to repair your wagon to be able to get through. So I think that could be a fun little interlude type thing between gifts. And then you as you run into this not like deadly antagonist.
Yeah, it's not malevolent. It's just like irritated.
Just like a tricksy, like a Loki. type thing, or a Jack Frost type thing, something that an annoyance to slow you down.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even have it like they want to steal the sack or the cart or anything like that. Like, I think just a, you're through my territory. Oh, darn you kids. You know, like something along those lines, I think is totally the way to kind of play with it. And especially if you're dealing with more creatures than just that, there's gotta be, you know, you need to at least be open to the characters bribing them to like kind of turn on each other or something as a distraction to get out of the way. You could have them actually finding different things at each package drop-off point that might help, you know, something like hidden, or once they deposit the thing or the package, a door will open, and then the thing that they would need to help them get through the previous trap might be there, or something along those lines, so that they are able to, you know, kind of soup up the cart and you know, fortify it better against these things.
Ooh, I like that. Building up the cart, fortifying it, giving it new abilities potentially as you go through. I really like that a lot. And then as far as the deliveries go, right, the items aren't like, we don't need to necessarily think of very specific things, right? But just in general,
it's wrapped up in a package. You don't need to know anything.
Yeah, you don't even necessarily need to know anything. One easy scenario is you have to fight your way through something to get to a point. Like the portal does not exit you right where you need to go. You have to fight through a horde of bandits or something who might be trying to steal your stuff. But
one of them has the heart of gold, and that's why you're trying to deliver it to them.
Yeah. Or, I mean, they could be blocking a bridge. They could own a bridge or something. And there's this nice little family on the other side, that you have to get to, but you have to get through these, evil elemental rock monsters or trolls or something like that to get to, right? You could have a puzzle type scenario where you have to figure out how to get to this location on the top of a hill. Maybe there's a bunch of waterfalls coming down, or, you know, it's very, very inaccessible. Like, there's no place to pop out right next to it. So you have to figure out the whole thing is not combat. It's just figuring out, how the heck do we get up there, and let the players be creative?
Yeah. Or do that on top of that. Maybe, the location is, you know, inside a closed off wall. You know, you got to figure out how to actually traverse the wall to be able to deliver it, or lockpick, or find a secret passage or something along those lines. You know, just puzzle it out. Or again, maybe when you drop it off, there's magically some sort of keystone or map showing you where the next stop is that will kind of give clues as to, you know, how to enter into this place, whether it's like, you know, maybe some sort of dungeon, or heck, just trying to get down someone's chimney because their house is locked up against, you know, they're paranoid of werewolves or something. I don't know.
Yeah. kind breaking and entering.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, especially if you want to play into the Santa Claus angle a little more, you could have a stealth mission where you have to navigate through things without maybe waking creatures up that might otherwise attack you, to get to a certain spot, kind of a little mini maze type thing, or, you know, a little stealth expedition. There's all sorts of really, really fun things that you could do. One of my favorite puzzles, actually, that you could have at a stop that maybe unlocks something, or maybe it's one of the Feywild things that you have to, that was put in to block the portal out to wherever you're going, is a puzzle. Like an actual puzzle. Like I've done this once or twice before, where I've taken an image, laminated it, then cut it up into, you know, 24 or 36 pieces, and the players have to put it together. Yeah. Like you don't want it to be super high piece amount, super complicated. You want something that they could puzzle out in, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Exactly.
But it's incredibly satisfying for the players to be able to put something like that together, because it's really cool. But that's exactly the type of thing an archfey would do to annoy you or to block something off. And you could use, you know, whatever cool image or sigil or whatever. But it gives the players something to do tactilely as well. So that's another fun thing.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, ultimately, the archfey that is kind of going up against you could be the original traveler too. Maybe this is how it just has fun. It tries to, you know, challenge mortals to see if they can, you know, figure out, you know, the whole task or something.
I like that. I like that a lot. Like, they don't actually die.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just, you know, disappear, or they Obi-Wan and, you know, collapse and leave the clothes or the robe behind or whatever. And they use that to basically magically trick people into being a delivery service.
Yeah, that'd be perfect
for them. That's super fun. And then because then at the end, because it'd be fun as an antagonist to kind of, even if you don't like directly fight them or whatever, show them or have them be that malevolent force that there mm-hmm. is kind of like taunting them or just kind of goading them as they're trying to repair their wagon or to do the thing or something. Make it very obvious that it's a force that can't be destroyed or you can't fight or whatever. But at the very end, when you pull out that last gift, they appear and, you know, say, congratulations, you know, you did really well. This is for you. You know,
happy you mortals winters won this year. Good job.
Happy winter's day. You know, that type of thing. I really like that a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, if you really want to totally throw a mix in there, just be all like, happy trick or treat. Just, you know, confuse people. It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of real flexibility to this. Like we were saying earlier, you can vary the number of stops and presents. You have the Feywild mini trip that you always can throw little fun puzzles at and such, and then deliveries can involve the stealth or the combat or the chase or, you know, whatever, or negotiations, even whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of make this as long or as short as you wanted to, depending on how things go, or prepare three or four things. And then, like Ben was saying, if one thing takes way longer than you thought, then you can always shorten it down and not have one or two of those be an actual thing. Or yeah, if they get through stuff quick, you can do the full, you know, 3 to 5 or whatever. So I think that could be a really fun.
I think a good number to aim for the minimum would be 3. Just because you'll have the, you know, the interludes, which, you know, the first one could potentially take longer than the rest as you're kind of introducing them to it. And then, I don't know, it's like one of those rule of three kind of things where 3 is a good round number for, you know, things to happen. And that way you can experience a variety of different, you know, challenges. And then, you know, have a good core 3. And then from there, you know, come up with some extras. And, you know, depending on how it goes, or if the group, you know, likes a certain kind of thing, then you can kind of repeat and do something similar at the next stop, Because you've had, you know, again, it's small kind of mini encounter prepared for. If it turns out that they really didn't like the puzzle kind, it's like, okay, great. We're not going to worry about doing those anymore. You know, just give them a small variety, like a little taste. And, honestly, it's a good way to kind of bring someone into what D&D could be just by giving them that, you know, like little bite-sized, bits of, everything that's, that you come up with.
Yeah. It could very easily be a great, like, introduction,
mm-hmm.
Type thing. I would recommend something like this. Especially with it potentially being like newer player friendly, run it maybe like levels 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range would be very good. Let them have a few tools, but not so many tools.
Yeah. The tool in this is going to be the wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. You just augment the wagon and have it be the driver of things more than super powerful spells.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And such. But 3 to 5 gives you enough fun, interesting things, especially if you don't get a long rest during the one shot and just have short rests or whatever. That still gives them a decent amount of resources and tools to be able to do something. And potentially it's very easy within this system to have one of the rewards be restoration at some point. If you're like, oh no, they've burned through everything, we're only halfway through,
mm-hmm.
this is not going to be fun because all they got is cantrips and their swords and shields left.
The hot chocolate dispenser in the wagon kicks in after the next drop off, and then it just fully restores them. They get the effects of a long rest.
Yeah, that's another great like wagon upgrade type thing that it could be a nice little one and done.
Yeah.
Type thing. Oh, you smell something sweet coming from the back of the wagon. Go in and there's exactly the right amount of cups and this thing has popped out of the wall and it looks like it's dispensed a warm drink for you.
And some cookies.
Mm, and some
cookies. Yeah. You gotta have the cookies too.
Gotta have them at the same time. But yeah, I think this is solid, Ben. I think there's a fun premise. There's a skeleton there that lots of skin could be put over. And it sounds like it would be a lot of fun to run or play in.
And, you know, last but not least, since we're already traversing through the Feywild, take them to any plane that they want to go to or that you want them to go to. If you want to go really kind of dark and creepy on this, you can take them to the Nine Hells and give a gift there. That'd be real weird. Wouldn't really fit the theme, but you know what? This is your game. You can tailor it to your players however they want. Maybe if you are running, you know, this for a group of like level 15 to 20s or something like that, and they want to have a good challenge and, you know, maybe a dragon's chasing them in one of the encounters. I mean, again, you make this how you want, make it as challenging as you want, get an idea for it. And the big thing is, you know, it's a good holiday fun. I wouldn't put a lose condition on this, but that's just how I would run this specific thing.
Yeah, no, I really like that idea though, because you've got the whole multiverse to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what you want to do, you could really vary the locations and places a lot, and which would be very interesting and provide a lot of variety in a short period of time. So which is especially good for like replayability and stuff. So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. In fact, if you really like this and your players love it, next year have the same thing happen and they'll know what's going to happen. They'll be like, oh, not this again. And then just at the same time, be super delighted that they're going to get to, you know, deliver packages again.
Yeah. And to most likely very different, completely different locations.
Yeah. It could turn into the yearly challenge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's super solid. If anyone runs it, please let us know how it goes. In fact, if any, we'd love to hear stories for any of the one shots, mm-hmm. any of the holiday one shots, from our last episode of the year. And again, we love to hear the story in Discord. So if you have your own story of that, I know there was one year that a group did a streamed little playthrough of that same adventure, actually, with the Ebenezer in the house and such. And it was really fun to watch and see them make it their own. So we love to hear about those stories. So if you do something like that, please let us know. We always love to hear about it.
Definitely.
Okay. So just a few things left that we want to shout out. Real quick, if you are a VTT user and a D&D Beyond user, the D&D Beyond maps just got even more featureful. The monster stat block and hit point tracking is now in maps, which is incredibly handy. So definitely check that out if you use those maps. Ben, you found, and this is just in the other tabletop RPG genre, but there is a Voltron role-playing game that is currently being kickstarted.
Yes, and I'm not putting this in just because I backed it. I'm putting it in because I love Voltron. I grew up with it. Old school Voltron was great growing up. And then the DreamWorks Voltron Legendary Defender that was on Netflix, but now I think it's on Amazon. Anyways, absolutely love that show too. It's role-playing game. You get your five paladins together, fly around in a lion, does stuff, gives you some, locations, kind of, how to run the different things, run the lions, each of them is varied. And the cool thing is that it actually has both versions of it. So they have Voltron, the, Defender of the Universe, the original one from like the 80s, as well as the new DreamWorks one. And it's the same game mechanics, but like the settings and characters and everything are different based on which one, you want. And pledge wise, you can do a pledge that is, for one or the other. I think the lowest, the PDF is it's a $20 pledge, not that bad. Then of course, you can get the actual books. You can have a pledge that has both of them. There's actually a board game that's going to be in there as well. So there's a lot of different stuff that you can do. And I did pledge it at the level so I can get the books and PDFs for both, just because, again, big fan of those. And it looks like it's going to be just kind of an interesting kind of gameplay. And if anything, it'll give me ideas for if I want to run some sort of Voltron-y thing in my D&D game later on for Spelljammer. So who knows?
Hey, yeah. I mean, a bunch of Spelljammer ships all combining together mm-hmm. to make one big ship.
Exactly.
Seems very likely.
I mean, it's perfect for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Also, if you like free stuff, both D&D Beyond and Kobold Press are doing digital advent calendars where they are giving away free stuff of their products. There's a lot of good stuff in the Kobold Press. There are several digital dice in D&D Beyond, as well as a lot of the things so far in the D&D Beyond one have not been new per se. But they have been like time limited things that they've given away before that they're kind of giving back now. So if you don't have a lot of those, you'll get a lot more value out of the D&D Beyond one than someone who's just kind of been around for a while and been collecting these as they've come up. But there's a lot of really fun stuff. I know the Kobold Press one has one of the classes, the full-on classes from Deep Magic, which is super cool, as well as a lot of their smaller supplements. So Kobold Press always makes really good stuff. Highly recommend, but we'll have links to both the D&D Beyond Advent Calendar and the Kobold Press one in the show notes at dndiscussions.com if you want to jump over to them and start collecting all the free digital goodies.
Yes. Good stuff.
And with that, Ben, I think that makes another year of Dean Discussions
episodes. It does. It definitely does. Like I said at the top of the show, it's been a good year. I've had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, and we look forward to, we got lots of interesting stuff we're already thinking of talking about for next year. We have the new Monster Manual coming out next year as well that I'm very excited to see. Looking forward to hopeful lots of improvement on the monsters as well. And for people whose games have already been converted, hopefully more challenges as well. But as always, before we go, Ben, is there anything you want to talk about in your games that you've been playing lately?
I've had two sessions since our last episode, and a lot's happened. So first of all, I've got to talk about how awesome my group is, because, I mean, they are absolutely amazing. Last time on the show, I talked about how, you know, we went into combat, a wizard was banished. And then they had, you know, this leader of a crime syndicate or, you know, a gang, whatever. I don't know. They had him basically cornered in a room. They end up taking him out, and then they all readied and figured out, you know, what they were going to do when the banishment dropped. And in one of those planning rounds, the anti-magic shell that was there disappeared. So it's like, what's going on here? So then banishment dropped and nothing happened. At least it looked like nothing happened. See, during this whole time, I had thoughts and ideas on how I would do my next move because, you know, we've always talked about five people versus one. You have to think tactically sometimes, and it's really hard, especially in the moment. But I had time to think. Well, this wizard has Misty Step. He also has greater invisibility. So when that anti-magic shell dropped, he had cast greater invisibility on himself and knew that as soon as I get popped back, I'm going to Misty Step out the door from where I was. Greater invisibility doesn't drop when you cast a spell. So as soon as he came back, his readied action was Misty Step. Boom, jumped out. So they kind of all did their turn. Some of them swung in the space where he was supposed to be and everything didn't work. Then I had him move further down into this cavern and drop a wall of force. And then he was, you know, appeared by everybody and they came and tried to stop him. Wall of force was in the way, couldn't get past, couldn't cast through it, couldn't do anything like that. So my changeling sorcerer had the best idea. He ran out, was standing in front of the wall of force, changed to look like the leader of the gang and said, you know, what are you doing? Let me out. And then shocking grasped the paladin standing next to him. And it was a crit, which really helped kind of sell this. And we did a deception roll versus, you know, insight, you know, really try to figure it out. And I mean, this deception roll was at advantage because, you know, they're in combat and everything. Deception was insanely high, and the wizard bought it, and I was just going to teleport him out. He was going to be, you know, a recurring evil character who I had plans for, but I'm like, no, this is a great idea. Dropped the wall of force on his turn, walked over, touched the changeling sorcerer, and he was going to, you know, teleport them both out of there, at least try. And as he's teleporting, the sorcerer does subtle spell counter spell to stop that teleportation, rolls high enough, drops, you know, counters it, and then and he let loose. He's like, Lilith is not gonna be happy with this. And then the sorcerer's like, I know. And then, you know, just gets destroyed by the rest of the party. And I'm just like, that was amazing. It was just such a good plan. It worked so well, so fast. And I mean, had to reward him for that because it was good. It played out just so, so greatly. So I dropped a name and they're like, do we know that name? And I'm like, well, I don't know, do a history check. And I kind of went back through my notes. I had named someone else Lilith. It was the wife of someone. And I'm just like, well, it's a common name because it's definitely not the same person in my world. So I'm like, crap. But I'm like, yeah, so this is a Lilith that you don't know. And then, so they went through, they looted the bodies and everything. And, on the main bad guy, he had a portable hole and some other really cool stuff on him. And, you know, we're finishing up and everything. And I stopped for a second. I'm like, oh, did you put the portable hole in your bag of holding? And he's like, you know, I asked the cleric because he's the one who had it. He's like, you know, in all honesty, it's what I would have done. So I'm like, okay. And I thought, after this, I can't basically blow it up and throw them into the astral plane. But then I had the brilliant idea of, this guy is a criminal mastermind. He's not just going to keep his portable hole on him. So I created one that has an extra enchantment that lets him activate and deactivate it so he can hide it in his own bag of holding. Because who's going to suspect a portable hole in a bag of holding if this common thing happens? So I'm like, yeah, we're going to do that. It's going to be fun. You know, something new. I make up new magic in my world all the time. Works. But
100%.
Yeah. So anyway, so they found the hole, opened it up, used the activation command word to, you know, turn it on and everything. There's a desk in there and it's a puzzle desk. And the rogue, she's able to, you know, kind of figure out and find the hidden compartments. They found like letters that talk about the connection with the mob family that they were originally going to go to this country to, you know, another country to investigate, you know, so there's ties here. They found that they're sending them diamonds and, the gang here is sending them the fantasy drugs that were on the ship. And they had, you know, a bag of diamonds. And then as they were kind of searching the hideout, they also found some giant barrels full of diamonds too, but they're all uncut and everything. And my cleric, his perception and investigation, everything are so high. He takes a look, has a very good roll and a good medicine check as well. And realizes that one of the diamonds is kind of in the shape of like a finger. And then he kind of keeps going through and looking. He looks like, you know, part of like a human or, you know, a humanoid jaw. And as they're kind of going through, it's almost as if, you know, there was a statue made of diamond with like, you know, not like super smooth, like, you know, say like the David or something like that, but with like, you know, kind of craggly bits sticking out and everything that had been smashed up. And that's what all of these diamonds were, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, what could do this? Is there some sort of spell, you know, everything. And, my bard talked about, I forget what the spell is, but, you know, essentially like a transmute kind of spell, but I'm like, it normally doesn't work with living tissue. And the only thing that they keep coming up with is that, you know, there are creatures that can turn things into stone, but no one's been able to do it to diamonds. So, you know, there's this mystery kind of going on, but they've tied the fact that the Kithrith family, the mob family, their diamond mines that dried up are magically producing again, you know, kind of hit those things together and like, okay, this is kind of freaky and stuff. And it's, you know, pushing that step forward. They've got those connections. They ended up teleporting to the country as opposed to sailing another week on the boat. Thank goodness. So they did that. And then when they got there, they found out that the family is actually going to be throwing a ball the next day for the monthly celebration that this country has, which, talk about holidays, played in perfectly here too. So because they have, you know, all this new wealth and everything, they're trying to kind of regain their position in the country and rise up, which is why they're the ones throwing the ball this month. So now we're at a point where they're going to try to infiltrate and figure out what's going to be happening and what's going on with these, you know, humanoid diamond pieces. So it's really starting to pick up, and I'm just incredibly happy with how this has kind of played out and how I've been able to tie all of this together. And I'm having a blast.
That's super cool.
Yeah. My players seem to be having a blast too. And I mean, it's going pretty good. On top of that too, they found out a location of another artifact that this other group who's hunting them that they know about is planning on going to. And on top of that, they've got this mysterious person named Lilith to try to figure out what's going on there. So yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces, and I'm spinning a lot of plates, but they're staying up, and it's working out real well.
That's awesome. I really like that a lot. I'm excited to hear what the mystery ends up being.
Oh, it's great. It's so great. I'm excited about it. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the two sessions for me. We did our last session of the year just because, this is really busy work time for me. So, you know, I've got to have some free time to myself to make sure that I can provide, you know, a fun time for them. Lastly, this upcoming weekend, we're actually going to be doing at Silver Dragon Games that I've talked about before. We signed up for How the Lich Stole Christmas game. Nevermore asked the GM. It's the same one who did the pirate game for us before. You know, anything that we needed to know beforehand. She's like, yeah, you know, go as Susian as you want. So I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. This is going to be my first time playing in a 2024 rules game. And so I made myself a clockwork sorcerer, and I'm a gnome. And the whole concept is that, you know, I tinker and fiddle and make like toys for the kids. And my name is just Tick Tock McClock. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
In person games, especially too, are super great.
Definitely.
Super great.
What about you? How's your campaign going? Because, I mean, we left off with some really cool stuff happening.
Yeah, so we had one session since the last time we recorded. And we basically played out the rest of the evening. Everything's kind of coming to a head in this big parade that's going to be parading this artifact in and around the city and the district to kind of... As the characters have kind of sussed out, kind of like a morale booster type thing, since there's lots of stuff going down, maybe even the distraction. And so the players are convinced that someone or something or some organization is going to try and move on this and try and take it. But they also know that where it's going to end up, one of the leaders of that temple is not a great guy. So it's very conflicted of, if someone came and tried to steal it, should we let them? Would we try and, you know, stop them? So they've kind of done some investigation where the best spot for an ambush would be. And now they're in the morning of, and they're over visiting the temple where the ultimate resting place is going to be, kind of looking around. And they've gone in the side doors where the general public is not allowed. And so that's kind of where we ended up seeing if they're going to actually end up doing some exploration or trying to find some things before they go to this spot for the parade route. So that's going to be really interesting. Sadly, it's that was the last session of that campaign for the year. We're going to be getting together once more. One of the other players in our group is going to be running a one shot that they've made to kind of close off the year, just for fun, because I normally take a little bit of a break at the end of the year to kind of, you know, recharge the creative batteries. Sadly, it's just, you know, slightly unfortunate timing, just because we're kind of coming up to the culmination of an arc and stuff like that, but you know, it is what it is. But it's the one shot we're going to be running is kind of a 1940 Chicago
Oh, fun.
Type one shot. And so I've got a ferry that I'm going to be running. So that's going to be super fun to see what he's got done with that. Lots of looks like he's put lots of effort into this. So I'm excited to try it out. But that's going to be kind of our last session of the year. And then we're going to pick back up with the main campaign in January.
That's awesome. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun yourself.
Yeah, it is really fun to get to play every once in a while.
Yeah,
as a player, I really like it. But with that, that is going to wrap up our last show of 2024. We are thankful for all of you, the listeners. Thank you for checking us out, for listening to D&D Discussions. We would probably do this even if nobody listened. Just because we like podcasting and we like hanging out and we like talking about D&D, but we really appreciate all the listeners who do tune in, all the people who send us emails or hit us up on Blue Sky or jump in the Discord mm-hmm. to chat. We've had some really, really good discussions and great ideas from the Discord for topics. So thank you to everyone. We appreciate you so much. Ben, why don't you tell everybody, if they are a listener and have not gotten in contact or social with the show yet, where we can be reached?
You bet. If you're looking out, well, I mean, look out anyway, but if you're looking to reach us, you can always send us an email to dndiscussions@gmail.com. We love reading them, love hearing about what's going on in your games and all that fun stuff. But if you want to talk to us directly, a good way to do it is actually on our Discord. You can find a link to that on dndiscussions.com. The last bunch of episodes at this point have a link to the Discord. Come in, join us, join the discussion, find out what other people are talking about and about kind of what's going on in their games. It's a very fun, safe place to chat about D&D. So definitely check that out. If you want to follow us on Blue Sky, the show is at D&D Discussions. If you're looking for Ryan, he is at TBK Zord, and I am at Ben Bumhofer. And you can always reach out there too. We'd love hearing from you just pretty much anywhere, really. That being said, if you want to hear me play some Dungeons & Dragons, you can check me out. I'm on +5 to hit. And I've been saying it for forever now. We're in the final throes of Rime of the Frostmaiden, but it's a pretty hefty chapter of the book, so we're doing a lot of stuff. So definitely check that out. We're having a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, last but not least, just one more time, make sure you check out dndiscussions.com. It's where you're going to find a link to everything that we talked about in our community posts, as well as all of our socials. So dndiscussions.com and pretty much everywhere that you can find your podcasts or, you know, wherever you're listening right now. So with that, I'd just like to echo what Ryan said and say, you know, thank you, everybody, for listening. It is a pleasure to, you know, have us join you on your runs or drives to work or whatever you're doing. And we'd love to hear back from you. So, again, join us on our Discord. With that, you know, I hope you all have a good, happy, and safe end of the year. Remember, we love you guys. You're great. And until next time, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you next year.